Follow the Money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Holly Howard.
And here we go. Thanks for checking in. We are live in Las Vegas from the South Point Sportsbook inside the VSiN studio. Fun show lined up here on a Tuesday morning. Good friend of the show, part of the network. You can listen to it, his program later on in the day. It's called My Guys in the Desert. He also writes for Point Spread Weekly. Matt Youmans joins us in 45 minutes. And also, we're going to get an early peek from Paul Stone today. He'll be on in about 90 minutes. He'll run down some rapid-fire bets that he made on Sunday when Circa first released their college football numbers, just in case some of the numbers haven't gotten completely out of control yet, and they're still out there and available for you to get on and bet as of right now. So plenty of football on today's show, and we'll start by recapping last night's Monday Night Football doubleheader. Just quick question for those of you on the East Coast. What did you think of the 5 o'clock start your time for the early game? Because that is kind of a sense of what we get every single week out here on the West Coast. I love it. I think it's great. But last night, both games go under. And as we start with the late game last night, Paulie, Cardinals and the Cowboys, whew, boy. I mean, now what do we do with the Cowboys moving forward? Because, you know, the idea of what the drop-off might be from Dak Prescott to Andy Dalton. And last night, you know, there's going to be a back and forth here. Was that more of, boy, oh boy, Dak really means a lot to that team, or was that more on Mike McCarthy? At this point, I mean, we all get it, right? Mike McCarthy's not a very good head coach.
He's terrible.
But they have so many injuries right now, it's insane.
You don't kick a field goal down 28-3.
No, of course. You don't go pass at the 40-yard line, then say, here we go, let's try 58-yard.
Yes, and it's a 58-yard field goal. I mean, you have to laugh out loud. So there was a couple good tweets about immediately put Aaron Rodgers in the Hall of Fame. He won a Super Bowl with this guy. And remember, Terry Bradshaw said, I would keep McCarthy and get rid of Rodgers.
Oh, that's right.
He said that on air. He did. So they don't drug test at Fox. But this is Dalton was horrendous, number one. Number two, they are now tied for fourth in NFL history, most points allowed through the first six games. As John McClain would say, they can't stop a clock. Mm-hmm. So it's Arizona played well at times. Certainly you're going against a horrendous defense. I want to know if you had under 47 and 46 in play. Drake rips it off with 70 yards on third down. No one touches him with 2 minutes left. They're just going to run the clock out. That hurts if you had that. But the unfortunate part of this, and I don't want to hear it from the NFL because it happens all the time. Somebody is going to win this awful division and host a playoff game.
Sure.
Someone is going to win this division and play Green Bay, Chicago, New Orleans, Tampa, Seattle, or the Rams, someone like that, and host the game. I mean, I don't know what I would bet the Eagles today to win the division, adjusted price. Because you see what's up next for Dallas and their schedule and how bad Dalton looked and they can't stop anything. But it's just, you've got to fix this. You can't give, someone's probably going to win six games and win the division.
That's certainly possible. I'll tell you what bet looks really good right now. Total number of wins for this division, right? That prop was put up 2 weeks ago at 7.5. How is a team going to get to 8 wins? Right now the Cowboys are 2-4, so they have to go 6-4 down the stretch. With no Dak Prescott, not sure that's going to happen. And oh, by the way, if things don't change, like right now, one of those teams you just mentioned, so they would go to Dallas and be what? 7.5, 8, 10-point favorites at Dallas on the road?
Maybe, yeah. And now Arizona's good when Murray shows up. They're below average and maybe a 5-win team when he struggles. They have weapons. They have talent. The defense played well. I know who you were going against, but at least there was a ferocious pass rush. I mean, they had heat on Dalton. He didn't handle it very well, but they had heat on Dalton for much of the night. But you just see how the difference the offense looks when Murray's scrambling, when he's running, and when he's completing passes.
Well, okay, so the Cowboys did have 4 turnovers last night.
Yeah.
Zeke fumbled twice. Kyler Murray finished, do you see his stats at the end of the game? He was 9 of 24 for 188 yards.
He's that great is, on the ground, though.
No, I know that.
Yeah.
But a quarterback completed 37.5% of his passes last night, and you lost to him 38-10.
Yeah.
Wow, is that bad?
Yeah. Well, the Detroit game, he had 3 interceptions, so.
And the one game, he had 133 yards, only 24. Okay, right. So put this into some perspective here. In the NFC East right now, Cowboys 2-4, Eagles 1-4-1, and the Giants and WFT where they're at 1-5. That is a combined mark right now of 5-18-1. Right now, 5-18-1 straight up for all teams in the NFC East. I went and looked at the Circa Million before this week, because standings are not updated. The person who was put in the all 25 picks before this week and is in last place. He's 5-20 ATS.
Oh.
Welcome into the program. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard talking about that debacle last night in Dallas. So again, the East in the NFC, combined record right now, 5-18-1, and the worst entry before week six, trying to actually pick winners, ATS. ATS, the worst person's 5-20 overall. That's how bad this Eastern division. You would bet the Eagles right now?
Yeah.
Oh, they are. So I couldn't make a bet.
I don't want. I think they'll. Well, they're eventually going to get people back and get healthy. You know, and they had a nice comeback against the Ravens. I think they're going to win Thursday. But I just think at some point, there's going to be a quarterback change with your guy, or they're going to get people back and get healthy. I mean, what's the like with Dallas? Nothing.
Oh, nothing.
They might have talent on offense, but Dalton's the, you know, I don't care how long he's played in the league. I thought, okay, good backup, maybe he can do something. But that's I don't think that's going to be the case either. As Steve Levy said, that might be the worst looking the 10-play, 75-yard drive you're ever going to see, whatever it was, 75-yard drive. It was ugly. But, I mean, moving forward, I mean, there's not much to like.
Yep. Can we pop up this screen grab, by the way? Everybody was tweeting about this after it happened. Now, this was eventually an interception for Andy Dalton. But look at this now.
Yeah.
I mean, CeeDee Lamb is just tackled to the ground by Kirkpatrick. Tackled to the ground. There is no call. Pass is picked off. Arizona ball in decent field position. I don't know how the referees possibly missed something like that. And they came back and they threw kind of a chintzy, well, in my opinion, pass interference a little bit later on in the Cowboys in the end zone. I'm like, guys, are we watching the same game here? Come on. Two different things happened in a span of 5 minutes that you... The guy's tackled. And the ball's going to be going in his direction. And you don't see that happen? Yeah.
There was a lot of bizarre things that happened over. Look at the Sunday night game. What happened with Shanahan's like, you got to be kidding me. He's clearly down. You're going to call that?
Oh,
home?
My God.
Allow
that bad.
That took like 5 minutes, that whole thing. Next three games at home for Arizona. Huge test Sunday against Wilson in Seattle. They're catching 3.5. Then they play Miami, and then they play the Bills. So they could get this. I could see they could get 8 wins here. Now, again, it comes down to Murray. What Murray am I going to get if they're going to win 8 games and maybe sneak in the playoffs?
Sure.
Because you just see how well he's played in the wins and how bad he's played in the losses.
So they played 6 games so far on the year. 4 of them. Last night was their 4th road game. So that's going to come back and be good for them down the stretch here. And Dallas, they are at Washington. They're right now sitting at about 3.5. Do you feel comfortable laying 3 or 3.5 points with this team against anybody?
No.
I don't either. And the other game from last night with KC winning, just look ahead here. The Buffalo game against the Jets this week on the road in New York, well, in New Jersey, they're already up to 12.5. That look-ahead number before Sunday was 9.5, open 10, 10.5, all the way up to 11 before the show ended yesterday, now already 12.5.
Now, this was a surprise how it played out, and I know we had the weather. We mentioned it was going to rain and then, low temperatures. But with 9 minutes left in the game, Allen was 9 of 21 for 66 yards.
Oh!
10 of the last 12 Monday night games have gone under, and Kansas City's on a 13-2 ATS run, as Joe Osborne pointed out yesterday. So for all the people, well, it's not square. It's not square. It's the right thing to do to lay it with Kansas City when you see how well they're playing and what they're doing ATS. I can't believe how they won the game, though, just pounding it on the ground, and there's nothing Buffalo could do about it.
No, it was every single drive.
Which I love the guy, but I thought at the end, Bienemy did a poor job with play calling. I mean, it's 2nd and 1. You go shotgun?
Sure.
And they blow it up, and then you go 3rd and 1, and you pitch it to the left, and it loses 4 yards when they could have put him away. And then I don't know what that was, because people were freaking out, as I was as well. Lallaire was great, but you run out of bounds on the screen? Come on. Rookie mistake, but come on. So the back door is wide open, but you get the interception. But I don't know what that was, 23-10, where they just give Buffalo everything over the middle and underneath.
Well,
and Allen, they didn't move the ball all night, and Allen takes them right down the field.
Well, I know, because I don't know why you would adjust like that when Allen, I mean, he was missing guys, Paul, by what? No exaggeration. He was missing guys, overthrowing them, just wildly inaccurate last night by 5, 6, 7 yards. So we pointed this out 2 weeks ago. Maybe the more that he has to throw the football, because again last night, the run, here's the thing, if they're going to get any movement at all on drives on the ground, it's going to be because of his legs. Their running backs are a serious problem because the offensive line can't block for him. But the more that he has to throw, the bigger sample size we have, maybe the first 4 weeks when it's like, oh, look at this, brand new Josh Allen. And he was great for the first month, right? but he's starting to kind of go back, regress, if you will, to the Josh Allen that we saw in the first couple of years here in the NFL. He missed guys all over the field last night.
Yep, he did. What was Diggs doing on the final drive? What is your problem?
Yeah.
He's walking back to the line of scrimmage and they get a 10-second runoff? The false start?
It's kind of like A.J. Green 2 weeks ago on the interception.
It's not over. You're down 9. Mm-hmm. I mean, you never know. And he just walks back to the line of scrimmage and then gets a 10-second runoff. Oh, yeah, so right, the MVP discussion, that's over. But again, that shouldn't have been a sweat if he had Kansas City. There's no way you had to sweat that. Yards were 466 to 206.
Yeah.
And here it is where it comes down to the final drive. And you have to get the turnover to cash your ticket. First half push was brutal.
I'd say so.
Butker misses another extra point.
Another one, by the way. That's four now. That was in the first half. So that's 4 in 6 games for Butker. He's missed one field goal, I believe, on the year. And at what point now? All of this two-point conversion talk, like every single week in the NFL.
Oh, that's fair, too. Right? I know. That's another angle of that as well. Yeah.
So this is the team, and I get it with the play calling last night with what you said about Bieniemy, but this is the team that has the talent, the creativity, the play calling. I would not be surprised at all, right? Why not break this out? They're going to score plenty of points every single week. But if Butker missing extra points, like every Sunday is going to be a problem, I want to see this team start to go for two more often. I want to see what they have in their bag of tricks.
Well, that's also the discussion when you're talking about the Sunday night game and then what Crennel did. Don't tell me the extra point's a lock.
Yep.
And then I believe the Rams missed an extra point in that game. I think they're going to get the one seed. Their schedule is so easy the rest of the way. Kansas City goes to Denver. They play the Jets. What's that going to be? Is that 24? When's that come out? Today? Does the Westgate release that today, what that line is? Is that 24? Oh.
Because that's I'm trying to get my the weeks in a row here, right? That's week 8. I believe they come out with their look-ahead lines on Tuesdays.
All right. Ben Fowkes sent this over. Denver was laying 26.5 7 years ago.
I remember that.
New England, when they went unbeaten, they were laying 24 against Philly. They almost lost the game. San Francisco was laying 23.5 against the Bengals in 93. Dallas was laying 22.5 against the Dolphins. I forgot about that last year. New England was laying 22 against Miami in 07. And then New England has been laying 20.5 and 21 a couple times against the Jets the past few years. And then there's a couple Buffalo Indy back in the 90s with Kelly. But anyways, Jets, Carolina, revenge against the Raiders, Tampa. But Denver, Miami, Atlanta, the Chargers, I mean, it's right. The one seed, everything's right there for Kansas City. Mm-hmm. It's right there because, Baltimore's good. But they have the tiebreaker, and Baltimore still has to go through Pittsburgh
twice, they get them, right?
Yeah.
And last night was scary because that was, I'm not going to call it a wake-up call because the kid's a rookie, and Buffalo's defense is a little bit shaky anyway this year. But to watch Elaire run like that and then think about what they have coming in with Le'Veon Bell.
Did they need him?
I don't think so.
I don't know about that either.
Forget
the fantasy discussion, and it's a bad beat if you have the guy in fantasy. But maybe to catch the ball out of the backfield, okay.
Yeah.
But at this point, I don't want anyone taking carries from him.
No. And by the way, the other guys they had in the game last night, they looked just fine to me. Williams and some other guys running the football, they were all right.
Yeah.
I wonder how many snaps like he's going to get per game. Out of the gates right away, probably not many, but who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised that was a team that actually picked him up.
Right. The other thing, too, you asked me about who's going to win the division with the East. Don't forget, Dallas is a miracle away than the Atlanta win. They should be 1-5. They should have one win.
That's very true.
I mean, they're getting killed in that game and then the stupid onside kick. So,
so the leader of the division right now would be, if they were 1-5, the Eagles would be leading at 1-4-1.
Yeah.
If they didn't come back and pull off that miracle against Atlanta. My God.
What a joke for the league. Oh, my God.
Seriously, this is in play. A 6-10 division winner is a possibility in 2020.
Think about that.
And they're going to get a home playoff game.
If the Cowboys don't get the onside kick, 1-4-1 is in first place. Oh, God.
Completely laughable.
Yeah, well, sure. And they're going to host a playoff game. Again. God, that's good.
And they're going to be catching 10 points. I hope. Mm-hmm. I hope that's the number. So are the Bills any good?
Yes. I still think they're going to win the division. You have to consider who they've lost to the last couple games. The offense moved the ball against Tennessee. Just Allen had some horrendous throws and bad turnovers. Plus, they also had key guys out in that game. No White, no Brown. So, all right, you're at home. It's bad weather, and the Chiefs beat you. So, New England's had some issues. I still think they're going to win the division. Now, can they win a couple games in the playoffs? I don't think so. Everything you said for the last couple weeks is true. The defense stinks, and they can't run the ball.
Yep.
So then all the pressure goes on Josh Allen. And I know it was the case in Minnesota, and I thought it still was a good move, but Diggs is a prickly pear. If he had problems, they would throw to him all the time. If he had problems with Cousin, what was going to happen here with Allen? And then you just see what he does, moping around with a minute 30 left and down nine. He's walking back to the line of scrimmage. So 66 yards with 9 minutes left and only 200 yards of offense for the game.
Yep. So I don't want to completely overreact to last night because they did get beat by the champs, but I'm not so sure after six games that they are any good for reasons you just pointed out. Defense, very shaky. Their running backs could not run the ball. And the more we see from Josh Allen, I'm starting to have my worries about him in 2020. So I'm not so sure at 4-2. Maybe the Dolphins win that division. They're 3-3 right now with the way Fitzpatrick is playing. And I ask you that question because Aaron Schatz tweeted this out again last night from Football Outsiders. And he tweeted this out. Since I've been asked, nope, the Chicago Bears are not the worst 5-1 team in DVOA history, or even one of the five worst. In fact, the worst 5-1 team in DVOA history was last year's Buffalo Bills. But he does have this year's Chicago team on the list. You can see it right there for those of you watching at 5-1. So who is good at this point then? Who's bad and who are we unsure of right now? Are the Bears a good football team at 5-1?
Yeah, I think so. I there was a big win at Carolina, but here's why I think so. And I like this comment yesterday. Well, I think he can do a better job. I like what Nagy said. Nagy said this offense is going to be fun when we start clicking and we get things together and everyone's on the same page. And I think that's going to happen. And I know they have the right quarterback in there, and I know they have weapons. And I know Trubisky was holding them back. So I'm a big believer in Foles. And I agree with Nagy that once they get in a rhythm and get on the same page, that it's going to be a fun offense that's going to move the ball and score points. I agree with them.
Yep, and during the summer months, for the people who are really concerned about the Bears this year, I asked multiple people, don't you think that the defense can actually go back to the form they had in 2018, the year they traded for Khalil Mack, and they were the best defense in the NFL? And every answer was no, not going to happen. Well, they still have Khalil Mack. This is 2 years later. He's a Hall of Fame player, basically still in his prime. And they have guys like Eddie Jackson still making plays all over the field. Why can't the defense be? Okay, maybe it comes back a little bit from 2018, but it still can't be a very good unit. Of course it can be. So they can win games like they did. Is that sustainable for an entire year, or can they win games in the playoffs? I would say probably not, but can they win 9-10 games this year and be a playoff team? Sure they can. And because the offense has been miserable to this point, and they're still winning football games.
Yep. To your point earlier at the top of the show, I think we'll go back, we'll look at this, and when we're at the bar having drinks 10 years from now, or you're talking to your kids, well, the first part of the year was a train wreck. Everything that happened. But from a sports betting and from a sports fan standpoint, we'll never forget August, September, and October. Yep. NFL games at 2 o'clock, Monday doubleheaders all the time.
Tuesday night football
game. A Tuesday night football game. And in August might have been the best month ever for a sports fan. You had hockey and basketball from 9 a.m. to 10:30 at night, and these are playoff games.
Yep. Every day of the week a few weeks.
And every day you had a NBA or NHL playoff game that would start at 9 or 10 in the morning.
Yep.
With baseball, and it was with golf, with UFC. August and September was nuts, especially August, how great it was. All right, wake up. I got six NBA games, one after another. And then, here's five playoff games in hockey.
Yep.
I mean, that'll be when you go back and look at it, what August and September was like. And I think this is just going to continue. We're just expect Monday night doubleheaders now all the time, what's going on.
Yep. And as it was getting juicier with the NBA and the NHL, September was coming up, and all of a sudden, look at this. Oh, NFL is going to start now. Okay. All right. So other teams, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, and Seattle. They're the undefeated teams in the NFL right now. Are we buying all three
of
those teams?
Absolutely. They all could make deep playoff runs. Yep. Yep.
I have major questions about that Seattle defense.
Well, sure, but you're right. They're not. I don't think they're great because of one player, but he's that good. So, and I know everything you've said here, but it keeps happening. They win every close game. So, every cliche you want, they know find a way to win. They know how to win. Backs against the wall, they always find a way to get it done. So, they will be a tough out in January because of one player.
Yep. Pittsburgh, I'm convinced. I was very high on this team before the season. Maybe they've done it with a little smoke and mirrors to begin, but they're 5-0. This defense, I think, is only going to continue to get better. They're a good football team.
Well, here we go now. I mean, it's Tennessee and Baltimore coming up.
No, I know.
So that's a great test for the Steelers.
I can't wait to watch that game on Sunday. Tennessee, of course, is the other undefeated team. That Jonnu Smith injury. I know that Firkster had a good game on Sunday, but Jonnu Smith was the real deal. Paul Charchin was all over him before the season started. The one-loss teams are Baltimore, Kansas City, Chicago, and Green Bay. I'm not going to overreact to the Green Bay loss and say the Packers stink, because Tampa Bay is pretty damn good. And that we have more on the Buccaneers defense later on the show, how well they're playing. I think some of the numbers are going to surprise a ton of people. It's not just like a one-game thing or a two-game thing. All year long, the numbers have been awesome for this team. Two lost teams. Arizona's 4-2 after last night. Is Cleveland good? 4-2?
I haven't beat anybody, no.
Yeah.
When the bright lights have been on, they've been destroyed both times. They played Baltimore on the road, humiliated, blown out. They went to Pittsburgh, blown out, never in the game.
Yep. We have the Rams, Saints, Buccaneers, Raiders, and Indy are the other two lost teams.
Tampa's good. The Saints are good.
Yeah. And the Bills from last night as well. Rams, I still want to see a little bit more.
Well, you have to.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You look at the wins. NFC East.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Up next, Paulie will run down some of the line moves. It's something that we like to call win some, lose some, coming up next. Are you ready for a faster way to win? When you bet with PointsBet, you get faster bets, faster withdrawals, and faster rewards. Experience this premium sportsbook for yourself and sign up with the code VSIN250 to get a 100% deposit match up to $250. You must be present in New Jersey, Indiana, Iowa, or Illinois. You must be 21 plus. Additional terms and conditions apply. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER if you're in New Jersey and Illinois, 1-800-9-WITH-IT if you're in Indiana, and 1-800-BETS-OFF if you're in Iowa. Here we go. It's time for win-lose.
Rough night.
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night. How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them. I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money Looks Back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
Here we go. The bad beat, tough push. Chiefs first half, lane 3, miss extra point. 13-10 at the half. Thanks to Gary in Davenport, Iowa. He had Jason Day in matchups. Sunday, he had a shot to win the tournament. He had a neck injury and had to withdraw. House rules.
Mm-hmm.
Golfer doesn't finish the tournament, plays fewer holes than his opponent, he loses. Bad beat indeed. As if he had Day, that's it. As he had to withdraw on Sunday. That was tough. Bad for the books. Chiefs 3 up to 5.5. Win by 9. Should have been a rout when you look at the yards. 5 of the last 6 Premier League games have gone under. Great job by Mike Palm yesterday. Gave out Arizona and gave out Wolverhampton under. 2 easy winners. Lose some. Cowboys +3 went off the favorite as high as 1.5. And the over 53 up to 55, no good. 10 of the last 12 Monday night games have gone under. At Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. To the videos. Dog time. Look at this. This will be us at Stadium Swim. Cannonball right in. Gets the running start. That's some serious hang time by that dog. Retriever, I think. That is awesome.
That's next Wednesday, 7:05 a.m.
Yes,
time
it
after
is.
The show.
Go right in. The one thing we forgot to mention, too, yesterday, one of the pools is going to be 103 degrees. So it's going to be open year-round.
Well, two of them.
Oh, two of them.
The upper deck.
Oh, the upper deck's 103.
Yes,
okay,
both of them.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
And one of them is a swim-up bar. So good. One of the pools is a swim-up bar. All right, excellent. And this is, I knew about Huskies. We know about Huskies. All right, escape artist. Oh, look at the fence. You can't hold me down. I'll get out of here. I'll make it. The other one, the German Shepherd's like, what are you doing?
Wow.
He sneaks through. And we had a Husky. He used to do it all the time. He'd open the door. Well, how about the German Shepherd? You got the back end, guys? The German Shepherd opening the door?
Oh, so it plays out in this video, I'm guessing here.
Here we go. All right. Got that. I wanted to hang out with my friends. Open. There you go. Just opens the door, no problem.
That
happened all the time when we had the Husky. And one time in a gated community we were living at, it kept running and went through. It's on the highway, the road where it's 45 miles an hour. And it's running down the middle of the road and someone honks at it. Mm-hmm. It's like, the dog doesn't have a blinker. I mean, what are you going to do? So I had to run the dog down. That was crazy. Blue, where have you been? The French bulldog captive. Oh, okay, sure. Buried in the sand eating a taco. There he goes. These things get over like 100,000 views.
Oh, sure.
They love him. And this is great. As we were talking to Derek Stevens yesterday, ML Dogs sent this in. I have Stadium Swim Cabana reserved for Sunday, November 15th. NFL games plus the Masters. All five of my buddies have now backed out. It'll look weird when I'm sitting in a 10-person cabana to myself. Do I care? Nope. Very good.
Yep.
Well, let me tell you something, though. Our buddy JT the Brick calls them bottle rats. You will not have any problems getting attractive girls.
No.
To say, hey, you want to drink for free and hang out in a cabana? I mean, it's not, you won't have any problems. That is a blessing in disguise, ML Dogs.
That should be like a borderline lock to happen.
Yes. That's win lose.
By the way, I looked
at... That is not a problem. That's a positive.
Yes. I looked at the schedule in the NFL that week. I did this over the weekend.
Who says no to this trip? I'm not
going to... Well, I mean, kind of, there's a pandemic going on. But what was I saying? You cut me off like 13 times a day.
The NFL schedule.
NFL schedule that day.
I'd be off.
Right? The if there's a good leaderboard that day on Sunday, it's absolutely... It has the potential to be much better than the NFL. There's like one good game.
Yeah. Wow.
So the Masters catch a huge break with that.
I cut you off 13. I'll go over on that. I'll take the over.
Yeah, it's probably a low number.
Okay.
How about this tweet now from Dave Tooley? Circa Sports Million Leader is presence one at 25-4-1. 25-4-1 in the contest. That's 25.5 contest points. The entrant is also responsible for sole possession of second place. Presence two has 25 points and also has presence three tied for third at 24.5 points with Aaron White.
You believe it. ODBMG2 leads the Westgate 25-5. The same guys in first, second, and tied for third.
I mean, that truly is one of the best runs that I've ever seen in one of these contests.
3,200 people in it.
Yeah.
He's in first, second, and third.
Yep. We will preview the World Series, the new number, game one, starters, and some props coming up next. All use expert guidance with our weekly football betting, and now VSiN, the sports betting network, is providing all access to everything we offer for the rest of the football season for only $129. From now through February 8th, you're going to get our weekly digital betting guides with power ratings, predicted scores, and consensus picks for the games each week, access to our 24/7 live video stream, and daily email updates featuring the best bets from every show host and guest, breaking news, advanced stats, and game previews on vsin.com, and our updated college football guide, including all the Big Ten teams. Give yourself an edge. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to get your football midseason special today. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Major League Baseball, we get World Series Game 1 tonight as we have Kershaw taking on Glasnow. Pretty good series here. Dodgers in the series, what are you seeing this morning, like a 210 favorite?
Yep, I took the Rays plus 185. I put some pizza money on the Rays in 5 and the Rays in 6. I did that because of how the schedule broke, that you're going to see Buehler in Game 3 and maybe in Game 7. And you start with Kershaw, and the Dodgers don't know who they're going to throw in Game 2. Who knows who they're going to throw in Game 2, Game 4, and Game 6.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if the season's on the line, you could come back with Buehler in Game 6. But I would say they would save Buehler for 7. But because of what happened, you're not going to go Buehler on short rest. He'll go Game 3, not to mention you used May, Gosselin, and Urias in the Game 7 win. So Tampa's going to go Glasnow, Snell, and Morton.
Mm-hmm.
Kershaw also has got an ERA of 5 and change, career in the World Series. Career game ones, he's 4-5 with a 5.86. I lean first five over 4 runs. Glasnow has had a problem with the long ball all year and in the playoffs. He did not pitch well last time out against the Astros. Nope. This is a sick, filthy Dodger lineup with no easy outs. Huge edge, to, in my opinion, with the Tampa bullpen. Edge to the Rays starters with how this breaks with the schedule. The other thing, Buehler's awesome, but how long can he go? Can I get between the blister and then all the pitches and then the short rest? And
can he go six?
We actually will have off days in this. Remember, it's been no days off with all these. So after game two, there's a Thursday, there's a day off. And then after, what is it, game five, there's a day off. But there's also a – did I give out the prices? I don't think I gave out the prices. Rays in five. 12-1 here, 11-1 at Circa. Rays in six, 7-1, 8-1 at other spots.
Okay.
Now, there's also at Circa a spread. The Dodgers are laying a game and a half runs. I would take the plus game and a half with the Rays, too. I think that's in play.
Oh, for the series spread.
For the series. Okay. The series spread games, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, the Dodgers winning 4, 5, or 6 is basically what it comes down to there.
Okay. Career-wise here, Kershaw, these are, again, very small sample sizes here. Kershaw has faced the batters in the Rays lineup 68 times. 68 plate appearances. They are hitting 150 off of him career-wise. On base is 239. And in 25 career plate appearances, again, super small sample size. The Dodgers are hitting 350 off Glasnow. Cody Bellinger is 2-for-2 with 2 home runs here. So I said yesterday on the air that I'm going to like Tampa Bay in this series. And that was before I looked at all the numbers. I am concerned about their numbers overall hitting.
Mm-hmm.
I broke down all of the numbers from just the playoff games alone, all playoff teams. So in 14 games for the Rays, Dodgers have played 12 so far. OPS, Dodgers second overall in the playoffs. Rays 10th. Their OPS is 702. Slugging, Dodgers fourth overall in the playoffs. Rays 10th. They slugged 407 through 14 games. On base percentage, Dodgers first overall. Rays 10th. Average, Dodgers fourth at 256. Rays 10th at 209. Strikeouts, the Rays have struck out the most. No surprise, they played the most amount of games. Dodgers are third. Walks, Dodgers first, Rays third. Home runs, though, Rays number one overall in 14 games. They've smacked 25 dingers, and the Dodgers have 18, third most in the playoffs so far. But doubles, Dodgers have had 22 doubles so far in the playoffs. Rays 11.
You got to be concerned about the offense.
The Indians played 2 games, and they had 9 doubles.
Huh. Only a couple guys are hitting.
That's right.
And it's not like they went against Koufax and Drysdale either. I mean, the Astros didn't have much to throw at them. That's MLB.com, baseball writers, 58 picked the Dodgers, 13 picked Tampa. Props at Bet Rivers. The strikeout, the K props are both 6.5. Will Betts get a hit? Yes, $2. Will Betts hit a home run and will they win the game? Yes, 5-1. Those are very bad. We get those all the time.
Oh, yeah. People love that.
I love that stuff. Will a guy hit a home run and will they win the game? That's up there as well. But, you know, the issue here in the bugle, they've lost 3 straight starts in the World Series by Kershaw. But to me, Tampa's on a free roll, you know? No one expected this. But not a surprise they beat the Yankees and the Astros, but just to be the best team in the league all year, in the American League? And maybe it's the year of Tampa. The Lightning, the Rays, maybe the Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm.
That could be as well. But it's all the pressure's on the Dodgers. You just came back and you were down 3-1. 1988, you're always the best team. For the third time in 4 years, here you are. You got to win a World Series. There's too much talent.
I would agree.
Sick payroll. You got to get it done here. And if not now, can you imagine if Kershaw gets lit up again tonight?
Oh, I can. I mean, absolutely.
I know. And then do you even want to come back with him in game 5 if he gets lit up? I mean, it's unfortunate what's happened to this guy in his career.
Yep. Pitching numbers for the record. Again, playoff numbers here only, but all teams that made the playoffs in Major League Baseball. WHIP, Dodgers 1.20, that's 9th overall. Rays 1.34, which is 12th. Strikeouts per 9, Dodgers 10.35, 5th overall. Rays 9.19, 11th out of all playoff teams. And walks per 9, Dodgers 6th, Rays 9th. I am concerned about the Rays hitting overall. I can see them actually getting to Kershaw tonight. To your point, though, I could maybe that actually is not as bad as I think because of the pitching and how it's going to set up for the Dodgers, and because Buehler has that blister and it won't go away, and you don't know. I mean, he like to go into the seventh inning is a big ask for him right now. I don't even know that's possible.
Well, as I said Monday and last week, a big issue with Kershaw in the playoff history has been sixth, seventh inning. So why not, if you're Roberts, you know that, and it's all analytics, why not just say, give me five, and that's it? Yeah. And that's what happened against Atlanta. Now, I don't see why Urias can't go every other day either. I mean, he's been a starter. Or he can't go two, three innings every day or two?
He's going to have to be available in long range.
Well, why can't he do that?
100%. Right. Yeah.
Give me five out of Kershaw, give me two out of Urias, and then patch it together. But the other thing is, who's your closer? I mean,
maybe that's him.
If it's 3-2 in the ninth inning, is he bringing Jansen out? It's huge edge to Tampa in the bullpen.
Oh, yeah, no
question. As far as I'm concerned, huge edge.
I do like this, though, because they were the two best teams for the entire regular season. And now we're getting them.
Yeah.
You know, it's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next, Matt Youmans is going to join the program. Who he likes in the World Series, the Masters, and Big Ten starts playing. What does he like this week? We'll ask him coming up next.
Big Ten is back this weekend, and it's a game Friday. Get ready for all the big games with Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Take advantage of the big return special. Make your first deposit of $50 and get $100 in free bets in exchange. If you're already a member, you can enjoy all their daily special bets exclusively on BetRivers.com. You'll love all the props and everything they have up with the menu in the World Series. But great customer service and only one-time playthrough with Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Playable in Jersey. Has played Sugar House. We love this guy. He was on all summer holding it down with us. Did a great job. Matt Youmans, the fast food, great content. Does an excellent job on My Guys in the Desert and Point Spread Weekly. And he joins us now, and he's a big Big Ten fan as well. Well, it's great to have the Big Ten in Mountain West back this week, Matt.
No, it is great to have him back. And can you believe, you guys, that I walked into the Westgate Sportsbook 2 weeks ago, and one of our friends, Dan Saley, college football handicapper, accosted me and said, how could you even have Shake Shack ranked in the top 25? And how is Taco Bell not in the top 10?
Oh, come
on. Can you believe that?
That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's absurd. I mean, that is just...
It's preposterous.
He forfeits his right to have an opinion on that ever again.
I know. I was blown away by that, because I will tell you what, that when my next fast food rankings come out, Shake Shack's going to be the biggest riser. I've been going to that place almost every week, and that's taking a big leap in the rankings.
As
you know what, the college football Saturday has been kind of light, with no Big Ten, with no Mountain West, no Pac-12, no MAC. We kind of miss MAC, you know, on weeknights, especially now. So it's good to have that coming back next week. But I mean, it's been a little bit interesting to me that I think in past years, the SEC and the ACC have not been my strengths when it comes to college football handicapping. And, this year I'm actually off to a really good start in college football. And part of the reason is I've done well in the ACC and the SEC. But, you spend a lot more time researching, handicapping these teams, watching the games. And so I've done pretty well. I will say that I have not done well when I pick games on Monday for Point Spread Weekly. When I bet the games on Friday and put out a column on vsin.com, I think I'm 15-5. I've done a lot better on Friday than I have on Monday. And, that makes sense. I know, Paul, we talked about this before the season, how tough it was going to be to pick games.
Yeah.
Early in the week with the COVID situations, and I think all that's played out. It's held true that it's there's so much information that develops throughout the week that it's a lot easier to be a sharp handicapper later in the week than it is early in the week. And there's not too many reasons to bet early unless you see a number that's off. And, you know, Circus Sports does a great job putting up the college football openers at 11 a.m. on Sundays. And those guys aren't off on too many numbers. You know, occasionally you'll see something that you think is off maybe 3 or 4 points or something like that, and you want to fire on it. But you have to be careful in really doing that, even in a season like this, because there's just so many wild card elements to what's going on. Well, you know, we've seen it this week, too, with a couple of Big Ten games.
Yep. Okay, so let me get your thoughts on one of these games specifically, the Michigan-Minnesota game. That opened up Michigan minus two, I believe, at Circa. Well, now I'm seeing across, you know, many different books, Michigan's 3.5. I get it, with COVID, not going to be, you know, a ton of fans in these stadiums, if any at all. But is Michigan, now you have to win by 4 points? Are they 4 points better than Minnesota?
I don't think so. I really don't. And this is a game where I like the home dog. I like a couple, actually, I like three home dogs in the Big Ten this week. And one is Minnesota. By the way, the Wolverines have won 16 consecutive times in Minneapolis, which I was blown away when I saw that. But that's the truth. Here's something to keep in mind when you watch this game. You know, we've talked about Jim Harbaugh now for a few years and how he struggled at Michigan because he hasn't had the quarterback that he needs to run his system. Well, he might have that guy this year. So this is something I want people to watch if you're betting the Big Ten this week. And I don't think people know who this guy is yet. Joe Milton, 6'5", 250-pound junior. He can apparently throw the ball 80 yards in the air. Some Michigan coaches are actually comparing this kid to Patrick Mahomes and saying that he could be a future number one pick in the NFL. All right, so there's a lot of there's preseason hype. And then there's BS. You know, I've read a couple stories about Joe Milton. I think he's got all the talent. Can he put it together? Is he going to show up on the field? I don't know, but I can't wait to see this kid play against Minnesota after the stories I've read about him and the comparisons of Patrick Mahomes and how he's being hyped by some Michigan coaches who know better. You don't want to hype a kid and compare him to Patrick Mahomes. That's unfair. That's really unfair to do to a guy like this who has not started a game yet in college football. So there's a lot of hype on him. On the flip side, Rashad Bateman comes back. He opted back in for the Gophers. They won 11 games last year. I really don't know why this team is a bet up. I thought Circus Sports was going to open like Michigan minus one. You know, I made these numbers the night before. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see how my numbers compared to Circa when they opened. I thought Circa would open Michigan minus one, open Michigan minus two. I don't understand why this has been bet up to 3.5. This is one of those numbers was scratching my head over a little bit. And I was doing the same thing last week. I couldn't figure out why Auburn opened 3.5 out to South Carolina. You know, all week I was trying to, why is Auburn favored by more than a field goal at South Carolina with Bo Nix, who has been the Mitch Trubisky of the SEC. And, you know, and it played out to South Carolina won the game. I'm going to stick with Minnesota here, Mitch and Paul. I actually think the Gophers are the right side. I don't really understand the line move, but I'm going to stick with the Gophers. But keep an eye on Joe Milton because this guy could be interesting.
What are you working on for Point Spread Weekly?
Well, I was doing college football write-ups all weekend, and we're going to update the college football betting guide. We're going to put out a new version of it this week with the four new conference previews, new new playoff picks, new conference picks, and things like that. So we updated the college football betting guide. That's going to be out in a couple days, and Point Spread Weekly. I wrote about the Big Ten. I spent all weekend basically researching the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the Mountain West to try to get up to speed. Those historically have been my best conferences when it comes to handicapping. And, you know, those three conferences have been out of action. So that's basically what I spent the weekend on.
Okay, and we're almost here now with the Masters. And I can tell you a storm's coming. Because imagine if a big name wins the Masters and then all these people that came to town, because the Masters was up so long, imagine if they realize, oh, DJ, I'm sorry, it's a refund.
Yeah, I don't get this, okay? I've talked to a few people about this over the past couple of days. I had five Masters futures bets made at the South Point, Circa, and Westgate. And those bets were made sometime in the fall, winter, early spring. Anyway, before the pandemic hit in the middle of March, when we started to do shows all summer, it was obvious that when the pandemic hit and the Masters was postponed and those futures boards were taken down, mm-hmm. those bets were going to be refunds. You know, and eventually I did get refunds from the South Point, Circa, and Westgate on all those Masters futures bets. And then when the boards, futures boards went back up, you had to rebet. I've rebet two of the guys. I probably have five futures bets. I think I've rebet two of them. But I did get five refunds, and I've talked to a few people about this, you know, in the past couple of days. It's pretty obvious what the rules are here. And it boggles my mind that some people don't comprehend it.
Do you have a World Series prediction?
I'm going to go with the Rays. How do you not take the mm-hmm. plus 185 on the Rays? You know, I was talking with Vinny Maiulo about this last week. We were trying to project a World Series line. And Vinny was saying plus, you know, Dodgers minus 150, 160. I said, okay, that that's about what I'm thinking, somewhere in that range. I even thought that might be a little bit high. And then with Jeff Sherman of the Westgate put out 215 on Sunday night, Dodgers minus 215, I couldn't believe it. I really did not think it was going to be that high. And I walked into the South Point Sportsbook yesterday and played plus 185 on Tampa. Hey, this team, this is not some sort of like we talked about yesterday on our show, this is not some sort of wild card team that got lucky and got hot and mm-hmm. made a run through the playoffs and can't believe they're in the World Series. This is the best team in the American League the entire year, mm-hmm. all right? This is a team that won 40 games, has a great starting pitching staff. The Rays play small ball when they're most effective. Brandy and Rosarena got incredibly hot in the playoffs, and they did play more long ball. The Rays scored more runs on the home run than they had all season in the ALCS. But I don't think the Dodgers starting pitching really stacks up to what the Rays have. What about you guys? I mean, did you play the plus 185 on Tampa Bay or
absolutely.
No?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'm playing tonight, by the way, in game one.
Yep. Also, how it breaks, Matt. You're going to get Buehler in game three and game seven, likely. That's it.
Yeah, and Kershaw's been so inconsistent mm-hmm. in the postseason. He's got the back spasm issues. I feel like plus 185 on the Rays is all. I hate to say it's a steal, but I feel like you're getting about 50 cents more than you should be on the line, and I had to play it. Mm.
Yeah, I don't disagree. You can follow Matt on Twitter. He's at Matt Humans 24/7. I can't wait to check out the new Point Spread Weekly with the new college football betting guide that's going to be updated. Great stuff from you and everybody involved. Thanks, Matt. We appreciate it. Good luck this week.
Hey, you bet. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Great job. Good to talk to you. Keep up the good work. Taco, can we stop with the Taco Bell? Shake Shack is unbelievable.
It's absolutely top five.
I couldn't. The burger, I'd ever have the shake, the chicken sandwich, the fries. Oh, so good. Taco Bell.
I'm telling you right now, the burgers are better than In-N-Out.
Yes.
Shake Shack. The burgers
are. They are. They are.
And I'm with you in Taco Bell. I just don't. That. Okay, again, this is not 1998. Then, back then, I would have said Taco Bell's top three.
Yeah.
It's completely changed.
No.
All right. We'll get into some line moves in college football this week from the openers at Circus Sports. And also a little blind. These numbers are going to shock you, I think. Blind resume for the Heisman Trophy coming up next.